Hi, how are you? I hope you're doing well where you are. I'm also doing well. You know, I've been seeing terrible things in the last 1 week. You know, people are dying in the roads, you know, accidents, terrible, terrible. I've also been, you know, people are sick. Some people are lacking food, but to me, I think I can't complain. And of course, I have to say thank you, God, because of what I'm seeing. I don't know if I'm special or not, but I have to say thank you. So welcome back to my show. Today we're going to have a very interesting topic. By the way, I was shocked that there are people in this country, especially youths like me, who are interested in knowing what's happening in the international arena. And you know, it's very rare to find a group of young, you know, just young people here, you know, sitting down and talking about what's going on in the international arena. What's the politics out there? What's Russia doing? What's US doing? You know, what's going on with Israel and Hamas and Palestine in the Middle East? So, you know, I was kind of shocked that some people are interested. And a friend of mine approached me and asked me to, you know, why don't I talk about Israel and Hamas? Because he wants to know a lot of things that he doesn't know. He asked me what's going on in Israel. You know, why is it that that region is ever in, you know, tension mode? It's always wars, it's always death. So he asked me to talk about it, and I'm going to, you know, dedicate this episode to talk about Israel and Hamas and Middle East entirely, and also, you know, actors involved, so that at least, you know, people can also know. Because I also thought that many people like him want to know about this issue, but they don't know. So I want to talk about it today, and I hope that you're going to be with me till the end of the show. Before I start, I wish that from wherever you're listening from, in Spotify, please rate my podcast there. Click that plus button to, you know, follow me. I'll follow you back. I'm also in TikTok right now. Please ensure that you follow me in TikTok. I'll follow you back immediately. I'm also in X at @Meshack_Omondi. Follow me there. I'll follow you back immediately. And I'm also on YouTube, so you can also subscribe to my channel in YouTube, comment there, like, you know, share, because, you know, you're supporting me, and I will be really happy, really glad, and I will appreciate. So I think it's very important to understand what's going on right now in Israel, right? What's happening right now is that we're having conflict between Israel state and Palestine. And I wouldn't say it's Palestine per se, because you see, there's this organization called Hamas, which was once a political group that was elected by Palestinian citizens to represent them, you know, as a government, you know. So I think, so, you know, right now they're not government, they don't have any authority. So I wouldn't say that it's a conflict between Israel state and Palestinian state. It's a conflict between Israel state and Hamas as a group, as a terrorist group, as they, that's how they describe it. That's how Israeli describe Hamas, as a terrorist group, though many people disagree with that. And of course, many people, you know, agree with that, you know, point of view. So that is what is happening right now. There's a war that started last year in October to now. But I think before we delve into why it started, why this war that it's happening right now, why it started, I think it will be important to, you know, give you some historical information or historical background of what's been going on there. So you know very well that Israel as a state was established in 1948 after the World War ended. And you could, you know, if you somebody who read history, you know what happened in the World War. Ugly things happened during the World War. One of them included, one of them was mass killing of Jewish people in Europe. You know, you know the stories of, you know, Auschwitz, you know, concentration camps, you know the goal of Nazi Germany. Germans wanted to control the whole world. They wanted to globalize the nationalism. They wanted to, you know, conquer Europe. They wanted to conquer the world. and they believed that it's their race that was, you know, important. It was their race that was super. So they believed that Ariel, especially Hitler and the Nazi Party, believed that Ariel race was the, you know, the superior race, and anything that, you know, impure it, or any race that will impure it, should be eliminated, should be gotten rid of. And when you understand the demography of Germany at that point, of course there was, you know, occasions, there were Ariel race, there was, you know, Jews. Jews, you know, was also very, it was a very, there were minorities, but there were many in Germany. It was a small group of, you know, people that, you know, you didn't know. So one of the political aims of Nazi Germany was to get rid of Jews out of Germany and out of Europe. Now that they were invading other countries and they were conquering those countries, Poland, about Italy, about France, they invaded all these countries, and they wanted any Jew that lived in those countries to be eliminated, or to find another way or another place to, you know, take them. So there are rumors such as, of course not rumors, there were, you know, even incidences where they tried to, you know, think of, you know, taking Jews to Uganda, and even taking Jews to Madagascar, so that they just wanted to get rid of these, you know, Jews people who they think were, you know, not giving them peace, who they scapegoated for inequalities that was in Egypt, that was in Germany. Almost all problems that were plaguing Germany at that particular point in time were being attributed to the presence of Jews in that country and in entire Europe. So when they invaded other countries and conquered those countries, they tried, there were many efforts to try to eliminate them, and that is why they built concentration camps. And the most famous one was Auschwitz was, I think, one of the horrible concentration camps which the Red Army, the soldiers of Russia, you know, found. They found hills of remains, clothes, shoes, you know, they found of that people were wearing. That clearly tells you how many people were, you know, were killed. And also not that, there are also incidences of, you know, mass shootings and, you know, on mass graves, people being shot, Jewish people. And the peak of it was during the 1940s, when the action plan called the Final Resolution now aimed to kill all the Jews in Europe and in Germany. The final solution was a plan that orchestrated the killing of at least, you know, 6 million Jews in Europe. Nazi Germany conducted all this. And so after the war ended in 1945, plan was already in place. Before the World War One and even Two, there were plans in motion to reestablish Israel as a state. Jews in Europe were already facing discrimination. They were already facing, you know, violent attacks. They were, you know, facing prejudice. They were facing a lot of issues. They were being, you know, pogroms against them. They were really, really discriminated. They were really, you know, facing a lot of issues as a race. I don't know, as a race, you know, sometimes I don't always understand whether Jews, being Jew is race-wise or is just cultural, ethnic identity or group. I never understand. But them as a group of people, they were already facing a lot of issues. And so they were planting motion of, you know, of trying to find a state for them that only be for Jews, so that at least they escape these problems that were already existing, that they were really facing in those issues, in those areas. So after 1948, this is when this conversation ended up. There was a movement called Zionism. Zionism was a political movement that aimed to reestablish the state of Israel. Why do I use the word reestablish? Because you need to know that Israel existed, you know, thousands of years before Jews left, because that's what Jews think. They think that that is their original homeland before they left. When you follow history keenly, there's a time that the Byzantines, you know, conquered Israel, and you know, Jews escaped away from that region. You can correct me though. They escaped, you know, of course they had to disappear from that area because, you know, their life was hell in Israel. And then so this is war. 1948 was a reestablishment of the state. Now when, because, you know, they wanted to, the world powers, Germany, France, USA, and remember, you know, after the post-World War, was a very interesting one because the U.S. had conquered the war, the world, after, you know, their historic involvement in Nagasaki and Hiroshima. They bombed Japan, and that actually contributed to the end of the war. So, these world power, they tried so much to ensure that at least they create a space. They create a space somewhere in the Middle East for these Jewish people who have been, who had just faced massive killing, attempt to exterminate this population. And, you know, it was a sad scenario, but so that's what happened. But neither did they know that they were creating another problem, another geopolitical problem in that 1948. Arabs see this as Al-Nakba. Al-Nakba was, you know, in English they call it catastrophe. And they refer this establishment of Israel as a beginning of suffering of Palestinians, the Arabs that were already living in the land that was created for, you know, establishment of Israel. That area was being conquered by British, British and French, but there was an international agreement that will make a certain area there, that area, the current Israel, you know, land. That area was under international control. It was under international monitoring. So no one was claiming to be the owner of that area. So that is why you see it was easy for counties, these counties, to come together and decide that they want this area to be, you know, they will give Israel this area. So when Israel came, of course, they started to occupy this land. And so there was a problem for people who were already living there, who were the Arabs. When they came, of course, the occupation led to displacement of the local people. And now that, you know, these guys were being backed by the then colonizers, who were the British, French, even Americans, you know. So, yeah, they had an upper hand in terms of, you know, easiness to eliminate the population that was already there. They displaced them, and so they displaced them, and there was some wrangles when it comes to even the issue with Jerusalem, which up to date is an issue. There are, of course, religious sites for Muslims, for Arabs, prayers, and also for Jewish people. So it's a very, very critical area that people always have, those two groups of people always have back and forth conflicts on. They want to own it, but, you know, there's never been an agreement. So since then, Arabs have been feeling that they've been, you know, there's been a continuous push away of them from that area. There's been a occupation, military soldiers of Israeli IDF, the IDF, Israel Defense Forces, have been that land forever, you know. So it's a system of occupation. And so we are talking about Gaza, and there's also a place called West Bank. West Bank is to the west of Israel, which near Jordan, and Gaza, it is to the sea. So Gaza neighbors Egypt, neighbors Palestine, and it neighbors Israel. So Israel, so we have a big Arab population which is in Gaza, but Israel has occupied Gaza since the Al-Nakba in 1948. And as you can see, there's been push about that. So, of course, then this occupation has resulted into resistance there's been a resistance against this opposition, and that is why you've seen groups coming up, you know, voicing concerns or leading the resistance against Israeli occupation. One of them is Hamas. Hamas started in 1980, and you know, of course, there are rumors that it was started by Americans, you know, because of course Americans wanted to dilute the power of PLO, which is Palestinian Liberation Movement, which was being led by the confident Arafat. So, because they were afraid of Arafat influence in the region, they helped raise Hamas, which was then embraced by the West. I don't know, there are such rumors that people who believe that Hamas was created by the Westerns. But of course, that's a debate. So, Hamas came up, they were like, we want to defend ourselves, we want to defend our people, we want to defend our land. And the mission has been true. One of them is that they want to defend themselves. They believe that they have the right to self-defend themselves, just as Israel has. That is why Israel has, you know, built militaries, you know, they have great militaries. That's why Israel has, you know, have great security system. They have the Iron Dome. That's why Israel, you know, has always been, you know, in Gaza, to ensure that at least there's no crossover. There's no crossover of problems towards their land. So they've been having self-defense, and you know, they're inspired, and I understand them. But if I was Israel, I would do the very exact thing in terms of protecting and defending myself, in terms of investing in my security and in my military, to ensure that at least I'm safe from any other enemy, right? And you know, this is inspired by the history of, you know, Jewish people here, because you understand what has been happening to them for the last, you know, 2,000 years. The most recent one in the World War II, the Holocaust. That is, you know, the number one inspiration to ever want to protect yourself, to ever want to, you know, ensure that you don't laugh with any particular enemy. So this is how they say. But the problem that has sparked debates for long is that, yes, they came back to their original homeland, which is okay, by the way, and they found a population there which has been mistreated and displaced for a while. And so this then resulted into, you know, this gave birth into organizations such as Hamas and PLO. PLO was a political movement. As I say, it was a political movement. I wouldn't say it was a religious political movement as Hamas is, because Hamas, they're inspired by, you know, words like Allahu Akbar, God is great, death to Israel. So there are two things that these guys want. One is that they want obliteration of Israel state. They sing death to Israel every day. They don't want Israel to exist. They want to destroy the state of Israel. But second one is that, of course, they want to get back the land of Palestine, so that at least they will accrue, you know, freedom and liberation to the people. And that has always been the problem, because you can see, many times in history, in these squabbles between Israel and Gaza and even West Bank, there have been a lot of agreements that have been pushed. The most famous ones that we know is the Oslo Accords, which was brokered by Bill Clinton. And these two parties almost had a solution to this. The sworn enemy to Israel then, the PLO, you know, led by Arafat. Arafat decided to, you know, come down with the then Prime Minister of Israel, Yitzhak Rabin. He sat down, you know, of course, enabled by then President Bill Clinton, and they decided to come up with a plan that will ensure that, you know, Israel concedes to some territories and also Palestine agrees to some towns, certain towns, which was successful. Up until the Prime Minister who did this, the Prime Minister of Israel who did this, was, you know, was assassinated in Israel. So you clearly see how that, you know, agreement wouldn't go forward, especially after the engineer or the architect of it was assassinated. Of course, after that, you also, so there was disagreement in population or in citizens of both two countries. In Israel, the conservatives were like, you've sold off our lands and that's not good. And I think the arguments are is that one of the suspects were, the suspects who did this, of course, were the conservatives, who are not happy with what, you know, Isato Bean had just done. He signed a deal to concede some territories which was not allowed, according to them. On the other side of Palestine, Arafat was also facing opposition, they were facing resistance by this group called Hamas. And we started to see their resistance being inspired by, you know, faith, by words of Islam, Allahu Akbar, you know. So it's now, it was no longer just a territorial dispute, political dispute. It was a religious dispute between Hamas and, you know, between this area, between Palestine and Israel. So it was like, we had Judaism, we don't like Islam, Muslims are bad, Jews are good, you know. So it narrowed down to that debate, the debate of faiths and religions on top of, you know, territorial debates. And so it narrowed down to that conflict, which ended up to be dangerous. So the reason why we now have the war is that it's a result of an ongoing war since 1948, since the establishment of Israel. And now it was, you know, much provoked by terrible actions that were done, committed by, you know, terrible atrocities that were committed by Hamas on October 7th. The military men, I don't know, you know, hitmen crossed over to Israel. Hamas hitmen crossed over to Israel in October 7th, and they raped women, they killed children, they burned old people, they killed young people too, and they, you know, they shared it online, they spread the fear. This was a terrorist act, this was a terror act in Israel's population. And so Israel responded, they retaliated, which has never ended up to today. It led into a military offensive against the people of Gaza. And so this is the problem that people have been, you know, talking about. That yes, Hamas did the wrong thing, but people are suffering are now Gaza population, who, by the way, somebody will argue, are not represented by Hamas. Hamas is a group that many people have denounced, especially in Gazans. They are saying that we are not represented by Hamas. They are not our representative. They are not our authority. And they are just an independent group that wants to, you know, that are just, you know, doing things because they think it's right. So the argument is that should we die because some other party somewhere did something horrible? Feel like, I think yes. I think not yes. That's bad, right? Because of course they are not. You know, if right now, for example, if right now the Kenyan government would attack Uganda, that's another story. Because before even Kenya attacks Uganda, people must have allowed it. You know, people, you know, must have, you know, told their politicians that this is wrong, this is bad, this is. So if Uganda responds to Kenya, and, you know, Kenyan citizens die, people who are legitimately blamed should be the Kenyan government. Because why would you do that? And Kenyan government will be like, we got support from our people, and people said yes. But you know, this is a different situation in Gaza. Hamas attacked Israel, which was horrible, and have been denounced, and have been, done. People were really mad about it, and people have said this was bad. In fact, many Gazans, many Arabs have said, have detached themselves from that action. It was really bad. But now, when you even look what's happening right now in Gaza, is that many children have been killed. People that you wouldn't imagine will participate in doing this. In supporting Hamas, right? Secondly, you can see that there's been an attempt to get rid of Gazan population in the south, in the northern Gaza, you know, downwards. Huh? And most of them have been told to, you know, migrate from or move from the northern parts of Gaza to the southern part of Gaza. And the situation has been that we are fighting Hamas. Of course, I think that is what has been happening as of now. So, of course, it has been a very terrible situation. And right now, you could see, and there's been a pressure in the international arena of countries to, you know, stop Israel. We've seen South Africa. They filed a case, I think, late last year. I don't know how it ended, but I saw some hearings. So I don't know the judgment, how it went like. But I heard that ICC made a statement to Israel, to the Israeli government, to ensure that they conduct within international law and ensure that actions they do does not amount to human crimes. So that is what has been happening. I think that I've helped you understand, even if not completely, but at least you understand some things that you didn't understand before. And I really, if you feel like you're empowered today with that, please ensure that you subscribe to my YouTube channel. You view, you comment, you like, you share. Please send to my TikTok account. Please send to my X. Follow me. I'll follow you ASAP. Yeah, thank you. I hope you enjoyed the episode. See you next time.